Before I hit start, before we do intros, we should do sound tests. Here's mine. Nipsey Russell's Okay, I'm fine. Go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage.
Yeah, that's good.
Abu Gravy.
Throwback. Callback. Dak, can you do a sound test? I want to see if your levels are leveling.
Yeah. Oh, you want to hear? Oh, I see.
Okay.
I'm sorry, did you just speak to me? Your mother was talking to me.
No, I didn't say a thing. You're good.
Okay, good.
Joe's going to do an intro now.
Camera's turned off.
That was perfect. Welcome, one and all. Most likely just one. To this silly podcast. My name is Joe Neal. And this is my brother from another mother but the same grandmother, Jason Mark. And this is his father, Danger Lee Daniels. And this is Just Because.
Just Because. Coming at you without any remorse. Just Because. Soon you'll be getting a divorce. Add your podcast to listen to nonsense all goddamn night long. All right, so that was the Love Boat theme sung drunkily, and I'm not even drunk. Hi, everybody.
I thought you were just making up a theme. I didn't recognize the tune. I thought it was just our new theme.
That's because I can't sing.
Fucking Just Because.
Yeah. So, in my physical house, but not in my physical room, is my physical dad. He's in town helping me watch my child. He and his mom are here. While my wife gallivants about Europe.
Oh, you guys are in the same his house?
Same my house, yeah. But I couldn't figure out how to split the earphones off of my mic. And I didn't know if feedback was going to be a thing. So I said, get thee to another room, Father Pater. And Pater said, ja, mein son. Mein. How do you say son in German?
Son.
No, didn't you speak German once? Weren't you? Didn't you take German?
Yeah, that's right. It's what I think they said, Sohn. But don't. You know,
oh, is it really? Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyhow, so here we are. We don't have anything specific to talk about. Although I did want to raise a question to you two. Now, Joe, I was talking to my dad about this a little bit today, but I want to get your opinion. You, Joe Neal, are a I was going to say professional comedian. We haven't really been paid for any of this stuff yet, but you're a publicly available comedy voice, right?
Yes, I suppose that's true.
Okay, so as a publicly available comedy voice who has the potential to make mad amounts of money, what's your opinion on that SNL guy that they hired and then fired when they found out he was an asshole? What's your opinion on that? What's your thoughts?
I think it's a bit much.
Ah, okay. We disagree completely. You're an asshole, too. I hope you don't. No, wait. Just kidding. Sorry. Knee jerk.
Well, let me explain.
Okay.
I think that if people let crass jokes or really horrible, insensitive stuff slip, I think society needs to kind of inch toward being able to forgive that have a more reasonable response to it as opposed to trashing one's career completely.
And do you
I feel it's cruel and unusual punishment.
Okay, fair enough. And are you aware of the extent to which this individual occasionally slipped?
Oh, actually, I was only aware, and I don't have a strong opinion on this because my awareness of the entire issue is limited. But what I heard was that he used a racial epithet, and it was very insensitive and ugly.
Yeah, you can tell from the tone of my voice and the manner of my questioning that I have a strong opinion on this, and I apologize for that. I'm not an impartial interviewer, but let me ask Dad. Dad, what's your thought on making sure this asshole does not perform on Saturday Night Live?
Well, we discussed it a little bit, and my thoughts were is that this is employment, and I think the people who employ him have a right to decide how he is infecting the job he was hired to do.
I agree. I agree with that.
We talked about this, and if they're going to lose sufficient revenue because of the way he's conducting himself, then they have, I don't know if they have the right, we won't talk about rights, I'll just say they should let him go. I'll give an example that is not comic related. Let's just say when I was a supervisor at a company I worked for, let's say there was an employee.
Hang on a second. Could you have ever been a supervisor at a company you didn't work for? Because that, I think, is you can't get fired because you don't work there. So,
well, I guess what I meant was, though, is that of all the companies I worked for, this one I was a supervisor at.
Gotcha. Okay. And they fired you. And they fired you for working somewhere else. Oh, sorry.
No, they didn't fire me. I was just saying, as a supervisor of the company, if I felt that someone's conduct outside the business, no matter how excellent their performance was at work, was going to impact my ability to generate revenue for the company, then I would have considered probably what I would consider do is talk to them about it and see if there's some way we couldn't come to an understanding on how it's impacting us. Which I'm not too sure SNL did that for this guy, or whether they just knee-jerked and let him go. Anyhow, I guess bottom line is if you're an at-will employee at any company, they might not say you are, you might not think you are, but you're an at-will employee. If they don't want you, you can go. And it is their right, I guess, to let anybody go they want.
Yeah.
Within the legal limits of the contract.
I wouldn't dispute that company had every right to let him go at any point. I think that what's a little weird is how knee-jerky companies are at this point in response to what I think is overly sensitive outrage in response to insensitive comments. It was insensitive, and it shouldn't be admired, or it shouldn't even be tolerated, but it could be forgiven, and society at large, I think, should be a little bit – look, people fuck up, and then people understand that, and then they apologize, and now this guy, he's fucking 12 years old or something? It's not like he has a wife and kids, but, To immediately just erase someone's job because you're scared of the societal response. I'm a little disappointed in the state of society being that quick to outrage and that unforgiving, where companies will immediately just eject someone in fear of how it will affect their revenue.
Well, let's
because of the outrage in society.
Well, let's be clear. We're three upper middle class white dudes. We're straight. We're married. We're educated. We are in a demographic block that suffers so rarely because of societal choices, right? And right now, if society as a whole is choosing to say, hey, upper middle class white married straight guy, we don't like the way you talked about somebody who doesn't fit in the demographic, whether it was once or if it was 12 times, whether it was once by mistake or it was part of the endemic, what's the word I'm looking for? The sort of tone set by the various venues in which you worked, because that's the case with this guy. It wasn't like he was on a podcast 12 years ago, accidentally said the N-word when he was trying to make a stupid rhyme, and now he got fired. He had done things like this many, many times, and that was the culture he worked in at the podcast.
So this was
venues.
A pattern of behavior. That's more concerning to me.
Yeah, it wasn't.
I didn't realize that. Again, understanding of this is limited.
Yeah, which is fine. It wasn't as. I'm willing, though, Joe, to go to the extreme and say, even if it was the case where he said some things that he shouldn't have. It's too bad. Sorry. You know what? Once upon a time, this actually happened. A black kid looked at a white woman, and he was later lynched. He was killed. So if that kind of thing can happen to somebody, and I don't want it to and it shouldn't, but if it can, then for a white guy to lose a job because he said an N-word once, I'm fine with that 100%. I got no problem with that whatsoever. I am a big I support cancel culture, and I think that anybody who suffers
because the mistreatment is so much less that we shouldn't care that it's mistreatment and unforgiving because it can't compare to the cruelty of a lynching.
Well, no, it can't compare to the cruelty of a lynching, but that is what it's being compared to. I don't think it's mistreatment. Some guy drops an N-bomb, makes fun of alphabet people, and has a really weird obsession with making fun of Asians. Telling him he can't be in Saturday Night Live is not in any way comparable to what had happened before. And yet, that is what it's being compared to. From the point of view of the people who so-called suffer. Yeah,
I don't think they should even be. It's not even close to the same thing.
It's the same thing from the perspective of somebody did something that is being used to punish them out of the context of the act itself, right? So if at the time he dropped those N-bombs, someone had said, oh, FCC fine, right? But that's not what happened. What happened was it took several years before someone came up and said, we're not taking something away from you. We're just not going to give you something we're going to give you. And that's the difference.
Right, right.
That's the essential difference.
That's a big difference. But you the way that you presented it, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our comedy podcast. I just want to say that because there was mistreatment of ethnicities throughout history by white people, the fact that white people might be treated just slightly unfairly is just and okay. And it's not something we should be concerned with.
No, that's just what I'm saying. It's that here is a person.
But you're saying that this wasn't unfair at all.
No, not at all.
That's fair.
I'm saying that.
I'm on board with that.
If anybody wants to complain and say, as a white person, I feel attacked, I want to say to them, no, you are not being attacked. Black people have been attacked, gay people have been attacked, women have been attacked, trans people have been attacked, Asians, anything who isn't you has been attacked. You've never been attacked.
Was that the argument that were people like, oh, well, you're just coming down on this guy because he's white? I didn't think it had anything to do with him being white. I just thought that
he used
bad language, and that's the rubric by which he was fired, because we don't tolerate that type of language or that type of insensitive patterns of behavior.
The very same.
And I'm on board with that.
No. It's clearly because he's part of it, in my opinion. Part of that same comedy family, so to speak, that the Skanks is the name of the comedy. They have Skank Fest or something like that. I can't remember. Michael Shea, who's one of the news anchors on SNL, he's part of that same group. And he said some things that have been not well received, but he's black. And Dave Chappelle also has been saying some things lately. He's the one who coined the term alphabet people, right? He's been saying some things a lot of people have a problem with, but nobody's taking stuff away from him. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they get a pass because they're black. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying this guy is not going to be given an additional gift. You see the difference between something being taken away from you and something being not given to you? So Michael Shea is not having things taken away from him. Dave Chappelle is not having things taken away from him.
You wouldn't say that because we've said insensitive things on this podcast, and we certainly have. You wouldn't say that if Taco Bell found out about this podcast and they fired me because of it, where would that land? How would you feel about that?
So that's a good question. Let me see if I can. Yeah. Well, Dad, how about Dad hasn't talked for a while? He'll field it while I think of something.
Well, here again, my opinion is that you can't just randomly go out and pick out things that people say and then use that as an excuse to further your own cause. And I think, to a certain extent, that SNL may have, and I say may, have been guilty of that. I think they are their audience is predominantly a liberal audience. Obviously, their parodies against the conservatives are well known, and their major audience is liberals. So if they were using this as an opportunity to attract attention to themselves as being this a bastion of let's you know, let's hold people accountable and we want zero toleration for offensive language, then that's totally wrong. Because there are a lot of people out there who think SNL has said even worse things than this guy has said about the people that they totally respect and revere. I don't know whether SNL did seize on an opportunity to promote themselves at another person's expense, or they really, according to an article I just read here, because frankly I wasn't all that well versed on it, they said they discussed this with him. Now, I would have loved to have heard that discussion. You know, I wonder what the discussion was.
I read an article also, and it pointed out that actually kind of the opposite of what you're getting at in some respects, that SNL was trying to court more of a conservative, some conservative fans, some right-leaning fans. And this comedy group that this guy came out of is known for being, well, they make all kinds of they have on all kinds of controversial figures, and they're very much anti PC, right? Like.
Well, and I would say if their pattern of behavior was to make fun of minorities, then it wouldn't surprise me that they were a little bit right leaning, because that's a tendency of that group. Yeah, I hate to generalize, but that's just the way it is.
This comedy group and the guy who founded it and sort of runs it vehemently denies this, but this comedy group has been identified by somebody as being alt-right sympathetic, which is, you know, it's going to have problems built in. The only thing I know of about the alt-right is they are defined by their racism. I mean, it's basically all I know. And they'll tell you about traditional values and all bullshit, but that's just a nice way of saying racism, right? Look, Taco Bell Joe decided to fire you because of something you did on this show, I would be opposed to that, because this is an instance of something being taken away from you. However, if they said
distinction,
but if they said to you, "Hey, we're not going to fire you, but when you go for the director position, we are saying absolutely not. You can't have that because of the stuff you said." I gotta be honest. I would have to stick with my guns and say, you know, you made your bed and you lied in it. Now, I would still fight on your behalf, Joe. Absolutely fight on your behalf and say, okay, given what you're saying he said, let's look at the context, right? I would try to justify, because in as much as you and I have been very, very raunchy, I don't know that we've been blatantly racist. We've been disgustingly homophobic or anti-trans.
That's true. There's evidence that this other guy was like, well, what are his underlying beliefs here? Like the pattern of jokes, if it's just, you know, racial epithet after racial epithet for, you know, years or whatever, then like, where the hell is he coming from? Now, we've said some terrible shit on here, but I think if you've listened to the show over the years, Dad, then you'll see that I think at the heart of our message, if there is one, we're not racists, at least. Well, everybody has implicit bias, but you know, come on.
Let me throw in another aspect of this.
You take
Anthony Hopkins, and Anthony Hopkins is trying to get a job on a movie set where he plays the leading role of a person who goes out and does amazing things to help the poor and the disadvantaged, and risks his life, and this is the nature of the show. And somebody says, Anthony, we can't hire you for this. We have to let you go because we just found out you did Silence of the Lambs, and you paid a sociopathic murderer.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, well, I was just playing a part. And they said, we're sorry. People heard what you said and what you did, and you don't represent the values of this current movie. Now, I know that's a bit of a stretch, but if he was just playing a part on this podcast, was that explored? You know,
That's a good point. I don't know.
That is an interesting question.
Did he make some abrasive persona on that show that doesn't really reflect who he is? And in some way, was he mocking the that perspective? Well, I just don't know.
That is an interesting point of view. However, you're touching on something that I wanted to get to anyway, which is the idea of – this is why I said, Joe, that you are a publicly accessible comedy voice, because when we listen to comedy, yes, it's fictional. We know that the jokes are made up, but we are being given opinions within the context of them being opinions. Now, if a comedian were going to do a persona, that comedian would ostensibly, I would think, set it up so that as the audience is being introduced to this persona, they know that it is, in fact, made up, that there is a context of fictionalizing going on here. And so if this guy were to sit down and say, hey, everybody, I'm a really nice guy, but I'm going to pretend to be a racist asshat for the next hour, you know, that's one thing.
Right, like Stephen Colbert, the premise was clear, there's no confusion there.
Right, right.
And the personas that we've quote-unquote created here, are they're just us.
Yeah, but
a skewed reality, but the people at the heart of it, we make no attempt to be anyone other than who we are.
We definitely take responsibility for the things we've said, and we do go over the top sometimes, and we can be pretty raunchy. And yeah, I mean, I am certain there are things we've said in the past that would be grounds for us not receiving jobs somewhere.
It's not like I ever said get on your Japanese and suck these nuts or anything.
That's true. You did, and I hope you get fired. But one of the things that an article I read, which is a really interesting article, and this goes to what you guys are getting at in terms of, like, are these just roles that they're playing? They said that the comedy world is expanding such that there's no longer comedy silos, but if you are a woman, or if you're gay, or you're trans, or you're Asian, or whatever you are that isn't the stereotypical, you know, upper middle class, middle-aged white guy, if you are uncomfortable working with those guys, you can go work with people who are like you or who appreciate you. And so while that's very, very good, because now we get to hear a lot more female comics and gay comics and everyone else that you can think of, while that's great, it's bad in the sense that these silos of these little right-wing racist shitheads, they don't have any other voices influencing them. And so they become more insular and even worse, right? And I would love to work, you know, I would love to be paid to write, but I don't know. You guys tell me if I'm being stupid and then I would do this. But if someone said, hey, I want you to come write for our alt-right radio show and I'm going to need you to make some jokes about Muslims every now and again, I don't know that I could do that. Even though it's just a joke and it's not me. Somebody doesn't believe me. So to say this guy is just playing a role, yeah, okay, maybe, but I'm more inclined to think that no, he was in a place he felt comfortable saying shit, and now he doesn't get to be on national TV. Boo fucking who, I guess is where I'm at.
Well, another aspect of it, I don't know if it's another aspect, but it also said in this article that Saturday Night Live had just hired an Asian comic to the staff, I'll say.
Yeah.
Now, what if that was going to cause an uneasiness in the cast, having this guy who had clearly made racist statements against Chinese working with the guy who was Chinese, and they decided to make the decision to ease the tension to let the white guy go to the Chinese guy?
I see where you're getting at, and I can see an HR person maybe doing that, but I can't see that happening at Saturday Night Live. All I can see them is saying, yeah, that kind of tension is going to make things better, not worse. The dude will suffer. The poor Asian guy will suffer because there's this racist guy walking around, but that kind of thing is just going to get us free advertising. I don't see that being the issue. I think it comes down to what we said at the top of this topic, and maybe we can move on because I am being boring now, but Saturday Night Live was like, we're not going to make as much money. We thought we were going to bring in more audience members. Turns out we're going to lose more than we're going to bring in. So goodbye, racist. Go back to where you came from. And all these other comedians who are defending him, the Dave Chappelle's and the Bill Burr's, you know, keep yakking it up, guys. You call yourselves edgy and you go by this golden rule of, you know, if I think Dave Chappelle said this, if they laughed, then you should have said it, right? The whole thing, you don't have to be funny, you just have to make them laugh. Here's the problem with that. This is where I got a real big problem with that, is that but Dave Chappelle is extremely talented, and he has worked his ass off. He deserves to be where he's at. I'm not saying this at all, but if he and I were to tell the exact same joke the exact same way, right, if I somehow mustered that much talent all at once, there's no way I would get the same kind of laugh he does. He gets the laughs because he's famous. He's funny. Don't get me wrong. He carries it off. I couldn't put together an hour show like he does. But the reason why people laugh when he calls them alphabet people is because he's David Chappelle, not because it's funny and not because it should have been said. And so when you got a company like SNL justifying racist shit because somebody likes it, well, that's a problem for me. And I'd rather we laughed less if that means fewer people cried more. Boom! Quote of the day. Let's laugh less.
I have an example that supports your position, Jason. Okay. And I may have actually said it on this podcast before. If I have, cut me off or edit it out, even the start of it. And that's the show that I did in San Francisco, where I was about the fourth guy up. And again, stop me if you heard it. It's just some shithole comedy club, which doesn't really narrow it down much in San Francisco. And there was about 40 people in the audience, and first guy gets up, and he's black, and he just goes into a routine that was so vulgar. 6 years in the Navy on a submarine, I blushed, and he used the N-word so many times, I lost track of other words that he used. There weren't that many of them, and I'm like, wow, and I'm in the back listening to this, and the crowd is going nuts. They love it. I went, oh, Lord, help me. The next guy gets up, and he is Hispanic. He makes the black guy look like a choir boy. I didn't even know I had parts on my body that could do some of the things that he discussed. And it was incredible. I mean, what an education. I felt like I probably could be a licensed gynecologist after this 1 5-minute set. So I went, yeah, this is going to be a long night. Well, the next guy gets up, and he's Asian. And I thought, well, okay, finally some decent Asian jokes. Oh, no.
Decent Asian jokes. Decent.
He has read the room. This kid is brilliant, and he knows this room now, and he knows what they want, and does he deliver? Oh, Lord. It was the longest 5 minutes of my life because I could just see my whole set going in the toilet. Well, the next guy that gets up is this young white kid. And I thought, good luck, Sparky. He gets up there, looks out at the crowd, and spends 5 minutes chewing their butts because he can't say anything that the three previous comics said because he's white.
Now, boo-hoo, Charlie Brown.
For 5 minutes, no one has laughed, no one has moved, and he gets done and storms off the stage, and then who comes on stage? Their granddad. And I'm looking out at these people, and they're looking at me, and they're going, well, what do you got to say, old guy? And I just stared at him for a while because I didn't know what to say. And I said, okay, it came to me. I looked at him and I said, I want to get something clear. I want to get this off my mind right now. I want you to hear it. And of course, they all looked like another pissed off white boy. And I said, if you have lived the pain of the N-word, if you have been disadvantaged and ridiculed by the N-word, if you have been subjugated and held down by the N-word, then by God, you can use it anytime you want. But if you haven't, then you should stay away from it. Basically dissing the poor kid that was in front of me. Yeah. And there's like one clap and then two claps and three claps and just the whole place just exploded into applause. And I let the applause lie down and I said, okay, thank you for letting me get this off of my chest. Now, two fags walk into a bar. And it was the best laugh I think I've ever received on stage. You know?
There you go.
Well, and that implies given your speech previous to the joke that you have been subjugated by that F word.
Exactly.
You have been held down by that throughout your lifespan. So you felt justified.
Yeah, I was in San Francisco, so it was very credible.
Right.
And the other thing is, and this is on the other side of it, is that I was going to do every year I do a little 10 minutes at a Catholic charity.
Yeah. And they love that joke, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not Catholic, you know, but I go and do it because it's my neighborhood.
You know, Jesus wasn't Catholic either. A lot of people forget that. You're in good company. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So anyhow, this particular year, they had gotten a new priest, and he was Chinese. And so I wrote this joke, and I read it to my wife to make sure it was okay. And I'll tell you what she said after I tell you the joke. We've got a new priest. We'll welcome him here. Everybody's so excited about him. I said, interestingly, he is a Chinese in heritage. And I said, and the one thing that people have noticed is that after confession, 30 minutes later, you want to sin again. So I told that to my wife, and she said, if you tell that joke, we have to move. So I didn't
move.
So I didn't tell that joke.
You didn't tell that joke.
It was hilarious. I thought it was a hilarious joke, but she felt it was an extreme poor taste. So I left it out of the set.
Well, there you go. I mean, honestly, the crowd, I know the crowd you're talking about, if they weren't in church, they would have laughed. If they were in church,
they would have laughed even in church, I'm pretty sure. Because I told them all afterwards anyhow. You know me. I ain't gonna let a good joke die. And they all laughed as individuals. But you're right. Maybe as a group, there would have been a hush over the crowd. But
all laughed. If you were actually in the church. And I'm sure, I don't know, most priests are child molesters. But the ones who aren't are actually kind of nice guys. And they probably could take a joke. And I'm not joking when I say that. Most of them are child molesters. Just so that we're clear, hey, audience, we've been boring your ass off for 30 minutes with this philosophy of comedy crap. And now I'm going to shift to priests or rapists. How's that? Is that going to be funny for next 30?
And the only thing I would add is that if I had said this joke, you know, that the one thing about having a Chinese person as a Catholic priest, after your son is molested 30 minutes later, he might be molested again. Jesus. That, I think, would have been an incredible poor taste.
No, that's the joke you should have told. Like that's the joke. There you go. See, you went? Yeah, okay. There you go.
And all right. So we segue smoothly into rape.
And now we segue slowly into, okay, we're not going to talk about rape because...
I'd like to talk a little bit about being offensive because I unintentionally was very offensive twice in the same day. I wanted to tell you guys this story if you'll allow me.
Absolutely. Was this – or were you microaggressing?
No, I'd say it was full-on aggression.
It was macro?
Micro about it.
Were you macro?
But it was unintentional. But you, I think you'll get my point.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Tell the story. Do you want some background music?
No, please, no.
No?
Can you give me a little intro music, though?
Yeah, I can.
You don't know what my story's about?
Yeah, here we go.
Okay, line up, everybody. It's time to go outside.
Outside, outside.
Come on. Outside, everybody outside.
Line up, everybody, line up, line up, line up. Line up.
So I went outside.
Yeah.
I went outside and with my dog, and I went on down to the dog park where there's a bunch of people lined up to go into the dog park. Strangely enough, line up everybody go outside was fitting.
Mm-hmm.
Good job, man.
Yeah.
So I went into the dog park. My dog hadn't been to the dog park in like 20 minutes or something, so he was going crazy. If I don't take him all the time, he just kind of loses his cool. And so I get into the dog park, and I take the leash off, and automatically he jumps on this lady's lap and starts like, you know, lapping at her face, and she's like, ah! And then he's like, okay, I'm done with that. He jumps off her lap, jumps up on some other dude. He's like, hey! And then he's like barking at old innocent Labradors, like trying to get them to play, and they're looking a little bit scared, and he's bounding around. This is Jesus barking Christ. Like, when he's, you guys have both met the dog, like when he's excited, it's he's not going to hurt anybody, but you're not sure, because he can even start barking in excitement. And right. I was like, oh God, I gotta distract this dog. And so I picked up a frisbee. There's frisbees and balls laying around this dog park, you know, for everybody's use. I picked up a frisbee and whipped it really quick to kind of get him out of everybody's face. But there's something about the sudden movement of my body. I ripped this huge fart right when I. And it was like in the silence of the dog park, everybody was kind of stunned by my dog and paying attention to him and disappointed in him. So the whole park is silent when I rip this fart and, you know, fling the frisbee. And it kind of sounded like when you twist a roll of bubble wrap, like just, yeah, it kind of also kind of sounded like an angry quack, like a.
Yeah, keep going.
So it was terrible, and I felt so embarrassed that it was complete silence, and I felt like my fart echoed. And so I just looked around at everyone and I said, "I'm sorry." And and I feel like the apology also echoed, and I leashed up my dog and walked out of the park. We had only been there for about a minute and a half.
Well, I that's probably the best thing I've heard on this podcast today, and takes the entire conversation about comedy and really puts in the perspective of, if you're not talking about farts, then there's really no point in anything.
Well, I wasn't done offending people with my butt air. That day.
Okay.
Have I told you about smoke farting? Are you aware of smoke farting?
No.
Dan?
No, it's a new one.
Well, it's something that my dad and I do, because you might not be aware of this as non-smokers. I know maybe you used to be a smoker, Dan, back in the day, but
yes.
When you smoke a cigarette, it stimulates your lower intestine. So you're more likely to fart when you're smoking.
I did not know
My father and I take advantage of that. We go out to smoke together, and we smoke, and then we fart at each other. And we do little dances and point at each other as we fart, right?
Yeah, like you do.
Yeah, you know, and we have fun with that. Well, when I am at Taco Bell and I need to take a smoke break, I try to find – there's kind of a bigger parking lot nearby. It's not the Taco Bell parking lot, but near. There's a large parking lot. And if I can go kind of right in the middle of that in between cars, I can just happily smoke and then, you know, fart it up. I might just start farting and nobody cares. I'll really let them rip. Well, here's the problem. I was standing between two cars.
Fuck you, and, Joey!
Yeah, that's right, because I'm just standing there kind of looking at my phone, smoking, and my butt just kind of whispers a long fart, just kind of like a pew, as I exhale my smoke.
Wow, you were coming out at both ends there then.
Yeah.
No wonder you're so skinny.
I slowly turned around to see behind me that there was someone sitting in their car with their window rolled down right next to my butt. And I noticed that the smoke, there was some sort of current like sucking my smoke into the car, which made me realize my fart was also being sucked into the car. And you should have seen the look on this guy's face. You're just sitting there with my smoke and my butt fumes,
yeah,
in his face.
Was he like,
and
that's...
I just he was disappointed. He didn't say anything. I think he looked like he was gonna kill me. And so I said, right in the middle of the very quiet parking lot, and I feel like it echoed, I was like, sorry, and then I walked away.
I had an experience that relates to this, and it has nothing to do with smoking, but it does have to do with farting and a particular condition, which is being old. And old people, as everyone knows, fart. We fart without remorse or apology. If we feel the need to fart, we will fart because we're old, and what the hell are you going to do about it?
Do you fart without conscious awareness? Do you fart and not realize that you have just farted? Or how would you know?
I always know that I have farted. I just seldom know why.
Gotcha.
So I was in a grocery store, and I tried to be a reasonable person. And I was in a grocery store in an aisle that had no one in it. There was no one in this aisle. And I'm looking for something. But again, this goes hand in hand with my age, because I think I possibly not only lost focus, I lost track of time. So I'm standing there, and I just rip one off. And it was a multiple. You know, this wasn't a simple tweet or a toot. This was more of a symphony. And I just did. And that's when I looked over, and there was a poor person who worked in the store, was actually stocking the shelves next to me.
Oh,
not
no.
Behind me, not out of sight, next to me. And she went, "Oh." And she looked straight ahead, and a smile came across her face, and she tried so hard to suppress it, and the range of emotions going through her, and I'm just staring at her because I'm fascinated. The bottom line is, she is not going to offend a customer.
Right.
And she was going to laugh it off, but that could be offensive. She was going to ignore it. Too late, she already acknowledged it. She was just there and frozen in the moment, like, what in God's name do I do now? And so, to relieve her pain, I walked away. And I looked at a few other things, and then I come to check out with my items, and guess who my checkout clerk is?
The witness.
And I walked right up and looked her straight in the eye, and she said, "Here's your charge." And I said, "Charge." And I just looked her straight in the eye like nothing had happened. This was a common occurrence, as common as breathing. And she, again, just looked straight ahead as emotion after emotion flooded across her face. And I tell you this story not because I think that farting in public is something that a person should do. I tell you this story because I so thoroughly enjoyed it.
Dan, did you wink at her and point and then fart one more time for the road?
Not one bit. You know, I was trying to muster up a parting fart as I left the counter, but there wasn't one there.
We call it a farting gift.
A farting gift. But I did not have a farting gift for her. But yeah, I just kept a straight face, never any acknowledgement at all that anything had transpired that was out of the ordinary, and just watched her deal with it. And it was so much fun.
Well, shoot, I wish I had a good farting story. I don't. This is the closest I can come to getting a good farting story. Let me get a soundtrack going since I gave you guys soundtracks. Let's see here.
Oh, by the way, the reason I was completely dying over that initial soundtrack is because I have heard that every day for a week.
It's true.
Every day I can recite that entire song word for word. I can sing that song.
Yeah, Dad knows
what
all.
What the hell was it? I didn't recognize it.
That was from Bubble Guppies. It's the Line Up and Go Outside song.
Yeah, the Bubble Guppies, of course. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
What time is it? It's time to go outside. We'll go ahead.
I don't have a good story. I'll play. This is from Holst's The Planets. This is Uranus. No, I don't have a good fart story, except that one time when I was, I don't know, junior high, we were practicing some, like, you know, they make you do these dipshit musical things. Like, everyone gets up on a riser and sings while the one person that, you know, the teacher likes gets to sing a solo and what else. Anyway, just... it was stupid and tedious, and we're standing there, and it's hot, and it's boring, and I had a balloon in my hand. This is junior high, right? I had a balloon, so I blew the balloon up, and then the idea was that at an opportune moment, I was going to let the air out, and it was going to blow back in my face and cool me off, right? Joe, you've been on stage. You know how hot it can get on stage, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's it. That's all the story is. And so I let it out, and of course, when you let the air out of a balloon, it doesn't go... It goes, and I was so mortified. I just stood there holding it as it rose in pitch. It was, I can't do it right. Anyway,
sounded like a question fart.
Yeah, and so I looked around and no one's looking at me, and I'm like, okay, either they're completely terrified, no one noticed it. It didn't happen. So I decided I was going to do it again because, you know, I'm stupid. So I blew the balloon up again, and this time I waited until everything was quiet, like between one person saying, we should sing a song about that, and the other person saying, okay, and then looking at the piano. And then I let it out. It's like, this time, it just came out all at once. It was just a... like I sneezed, right? Except my hair is blowing all the way back, and I'm like a greasy teenage kid, right? And it stays back because I'm greasy. And that's it. It's not a good story. It's a stupid story.
I have a recurring nightmare where I'm in some, you know, either in a meeting or just some, maybe even like a, I mean, it's always like a tight group of people, and it's important that I'm there, you know, pick your scenario, but I always, and it's never like some loud fart.
Yeah.
I'll fart like some SBD, the silent but deadly. And I catch in this nightmare, I catch a whiff, and it smells like a dead body in a fucking dumpster that's been sitting there in 115 degree heat for like 3 weeks. And I run mid meeting. I leave the room. I run away. I flee. Yeah. There's nothing else I can do. I don't know if you can analyze that dream. I don't know. It's representative of some anxiety
something.
I have.
Maybe this. Now, how awesome would it be if every time you farted, that came out? Let's do that again. Right? Oh, geez. What's wrong, Dale? Hang on a second, guys. And he lifts one leg, and you hear. I don't know. That, to me, is funny. Look, this show has been a total disaster, and I apologize for that. The first topic I brought up was boring. We got pedantic. We had to shift to farting. And now, how much time we have left? Now, we got 13 minutes left to make this... To make this good. I know we're all over the place.
Well, I do like musical farts. Have you ever heard one of those?
No.
I just want to say, if you've ever heard and nobody can do that on purpose, but sometimes farts sound like melodic, and there's nothing funnier. So
let's see. I'll YouTube it. Here we go.
There's actually a series of YouTube videos where there was an accidentally musical fart, and then there's a bunch of, this guy puts music behind it.
I believe there was a Gong Show act where eight people stood in a row with a tuxedos with tails, and they had no trousers on, and they had their back to the judges. And they would fart a song. This guy would tap them on the head, and they would fart an individual note, and the tuxedo tails would flap as they farted that very precise note.
Did they play classical gas?
No, which would have been great. I think it was...
Yeah, that's America's Got Talent right there.
Was it real butthole?
No, that was his hands. Here's a video that's... Oh, wait.
I was envisioning the bare asses with the tails lifting, so it was good for me.
Let me see if I can get to the... Here we go.
Look at his face straining as he does it.
Okay, now tell me that was a real asshole.
They were totally.
He's got
off
the microphone on his butt. Yeah.
My favorite part about that is that he doesn't even come close to hitting the notes.
Oh, no.
No. Totally off key.
Even close.
No.
Wow.
The rhythm was decent, but yeah, the melody was poor.
That's, you know, I mean, your average butt is probably very rhythmic, right? Because it's down there next to your legs when you're running, your rhythm, and blah, blah, blah. But the notes are hard to get.
My loving wife once, she frequently, I shouldn't say not frequently, but when she belches, she frequently will say the word belch as she belches. And my immediate response to her is, if you could just teach your ass to say fart, we would have an act.
I don't know if I would laugh or be terrified if somebody...
How awesome would that be, though?
Fart at me.
No, that would be so good. Imagine this, Joe. You're walking down the street. You're minding your own business. And somebody walks by you, and you hear very quietly, queef. You're like, what? Wait. Wait a minute.
I have a couple of questions. How could you possibly make the Q sound with a vagina? And how can you make the T sound with an asshole?
Well, here's what I'm suggesting.
It takes real talent.
I think it would be a matter of, like, that would be the mental disease that you suffer. Like, you're Joe, Neil, you're just a regular dude walking the street, get hit on the head with a piano. Oh, that really hurt. And then you wake up and you're like, all right, let's check this out. What I got, bionic strength here? Am I like a Wolverine now? They're like, no, from now on, any bodily sound to you will be in the, it will be sounded with the word that it is. Right? So you're like, you're standing in line at Taco Bell. No, someone's standing in line at your Taco Bell, and they walk up and like, gosh, I'm hungry. And their stomach goes, gurgle. Like, you hear the word gurgle, right? Yeah. Right? And it's really tough for you because you'll hear someone go, achoo. And you don't know if they're fucking with you or if they actually sneezed, right? Right? You get in really, really close, and they're like, their eyes are moving really fast, and you can hear their eyes are saying, blink, 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 blink. Blink, blink, blink. It's just, and it's driving you nuts.
Oh my God. And then, of course, you would lose your mind. And then, you know, I would completely go crazy. I wouldn't be able to tolerate it. And so then I would go home, slit my wrists, and jump into a warm bath. And the last thing I would hear is bleed.
Bleed. Yeah.
I'm just curious of the pornography that you could generate with this.
It would be, he's there. He's in front of his computer. He's got the lotion in one hand and his good friend in the other hand, and he's ready to get this done. But all he can hear is insertion, removal, insertion, removal, insertion, removal, insertion, removal, insertion, removal, or whatever. I don't know. There's probably funnier words than that.
But that would be competing with the sound of his own action, which is just be like, jerking, 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 pulling, pulling, tugging, pulling, polish, pulling, polish, pulling. Polish, jerk, jerk, yeah. Jerk. Erect. I don't know why I threw polish in there.
You got to keep the tip clean. Erection. Yeah.
You got to switch it up a little bit.
He's like, I'm so close, I can tell because my body just said orgasm. I don't know, just orgasm. And then you would hear weird things like at different times. You're at the bank, right? And there's a teller there. And as you hand the teller your ID and he grabs it, his thumb accidentally scrapes yours, right? Just by accident. And then you hear erection. And you're like, wait a minute, what? Hang on a second there.
Would it be even worse is that when you heard your partner go, disappointment?
So this isn't just bodily function. Yeah, if it came to where, like, you just heard the audible, you'd heard everything verbalized, even people's thoughts.
All you heard
were... turned into a Twilight Zone episode.
It starts off with an innocent fart, an innocent queef, or what have you. But now it's just like, just everything, yeah. Resignation, contemplation. It's all shun words, right? It's just like disappointment shun. I guess that's not a shun word. That would be pretty good, Joe. You should write that down. Hey, speaking of writing that stuff down, did you write a bunch of notes down, Joe, that you want to go over? I know we only got like 5 minutes left, but...
Well,
did you have some notes?
Talking about writing stuff down.
Yeah.
I was at this Taco Bell manager meeting, which I tend to go to.
Yeah.
All the Taco Bell managers in the region were there. And, you know, we had a break. There was a presentation, and everybody's taking notes, and there's important information being conveyed, and everybody's trying to keep up. And there's a break, and you know, normally I would go and smoke and fart in somebody's face in the parking lot.
Yeah.
But I was intrigued because somebody left their open notebook and planner right next to me. This dude walked up, he just took off to go to the bathroom, and I was like, I noticed that real big on the top of this sheet of paper was to do, and I was like, okay, oh, it's a to do list, and I'm fat. I think to do lists are very important, and I'm like, because I need a to do list, and I need to mark that shit off, and if I didn't have a to do list, my entire life would collapse around me. And I was like, oh, this guy, he's got his to-do list on him in this meeting. And so I'm like, all right, I'm going to just glance down his list and see what he's got on his to-do list. See if he's got this. He's a Taco Bell manager too. Maybe he's got to do the same type of stuff as I do.
Yeah.
And I glanced over it. Item number one said, fuck you. I couldn't make sense of it. Now, by the way, below that item, like number two was like, you know, pick up coffee creamer from the grocery store. Like, yeah. it was really just inane, normal day-to-day stuff. But man, top of the list.
Yeah.
Fuck you. And I was like, is he reminding himself? Do all of his to-do lists start with fuck you? Like, he needs to remember, fuck you. And does he ever get to cross it off?
Right.
You know?
Fuck you. Oh, man, you could sell, Joe, you should get in touch with this guy and sell to-do list pads, like, that are pre-numbered or checkboxes. And number one is always just fuck you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I also thought, maybe he just knew that I was going to look at his list.
Could be.
So that was for me. I don't know.
Yeah, he set you up, dude. Fuck you. Yeah. That's great. I thought you were going to tell a different story about you saw a piece of paper that said to do on it, and then you looked and it had a picture of you, and you were going to get nervous that somebody drew a picture of you and that you were there to do.
That's it, and that's why he sat next to me.
Yeah.
This Taco Bell meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, either do a drawing of you, right? And then he checks it off. I did it. Or he's going to do you, like, which, you know, that verb could mean kill, could mean have sex with, could mean set you up in a really nice, you know, four-door with low miles. I'm going to do you. Don't worry.
It was at that same meeting. I sent you guys a picture. It's a sketch.
Yeah.
Did you see that, Dan?
Yeah.
No. I don't.
I texted you a photograph because, well, clearly I've exposed myself as someone who looks around at what everybody's doing. Like, I'm looking at everybody's notes. I was walking out to go to the parking lot to fart in somebody's face, and I caught that somebody had sketched what looked like me, but it also kind of looks like Dan, and it made me realize how much me and Dan look like each other.
Yeah.
Wow.
And do you see the picture, Dan?
No, I don't actually have my cell phone with me right now. When did you send this?
I very creepily snapped a picture of this guy, and I'm wondering, like, why the hell is this guy drawing me? Maybe at the top of his list was to do Joey.
Yeah.
He's clearly fascinated. He was
This was the same.
He caught my likeness pretty well.
I thought so. Was this the same fuck you guy, or is it a different fuck you guy?
No, this is a different guy. Again, I was kind of nosy.
Why would that? But it's your face, though, dude. Down. Dude's staring at you while people are talking about, you know, condiment to cup ratios and, you know, Sigma 6 and the taco meat. And you're like getting sketched. And don't feel bad, dude. If someone's sketching me, I'm like, you better show me what you don't. It's my face.
Somebody's staring at me during a whole meeting and drawing my face, then the least I can do is look at what they've drawn.
Yeah.
I mean, we're both crossing boundaries here. It was inappropriate both directions.
You know, that reminds me of something I read today. It just made me so happy. Apparently, a woman who had previously been a man, she was transsexual, anyway, some guy sent her a dick pic, and so he, or she rather, sent him one in return, right? Because okay. The person who sent the original dick pic didn't know that this was genetically male, chose to be female person, and so got a dick pic back. And on the one hand, I want to be like, that's kind of like, it's lame that people have to suffer from this kind of crap, you know? And it's furthermore lame that they have to use the very thing that they feel not a part of as a weapon to get back at the other person. But then on the other hand, I don't know how many hands I'm up to now, but I'm like, fucking it, that's awesome. Like, I think that if you are thinking about getting the surgery, before you do, take a couple of really good pictures before it's gone, right? Seriously, take some good pictures of your stuff so that if anybody, you know...
That way you can have an appropriate response to a dick pic.
If that's what you want to do. You shouldn't have to do that. Your response could be, this is out of line, this is out of order, I have respect for this, that's terrible. It also reminds me of something else around the internet today where this one guy goes, I heard you hooked up with my ex-girlfriend. How does that used pussy feel? And the response was, after the first 2 inches, it felt like new. So again, I mean, I just really like how these people are having their dicks used against them. Just like that.
I think that it would be appropriate if you're going to go through that operation to take a picture of it after it's been removed and send it back to these people.
Oh, dude, you're a genius.
That is a good response.
That, I don't know how I'm going to turn that into the show title, but somehow that's going to be the name of today's show. Dad, severed you did
dick
it.
Pick?
Yeah, severed dick pic. I think this has been not
don't
a...
Don't do it, Jason.
Well, I'll come up with euphemisms. I feel like this show has
don't
not...
chop your dick off and send me a picture of it.
Oh, man. Yo, once again, the time delay and when you speak and when I hear it, it's too... Anyway. Sorry, this has been a shit episode. It's 100% my fault. You guys are funny. I just been all over the place.
Well, I want to say happy belated birthday to you, Danger Lee Daniels.
Well, thank you.
Sorry I missed the celebration.
Well, it was a wonderful wonderful week and a wonderful day. And it's the big 7-0.
70 years old. Can you... God.
I can't believe it myself.
Is our country... Okay, when Abe Lincoln is doing the whole 87 years ago. Okay, that's 87 years. So you're still younger than Abraham Lincoln was when he gave... No, wait. How old was he when he gave that speech? How old was Abraham Lincoln when they killed him? He wasn't...
I think he was in his 40s.
Let's look this up real quick while the intro music goes out. Because
I just was a point of clarification. You were talking about the guy that had the to-do list.
Yeah,
I was just curious. Was he also a licensed burrito and fajita counselor like you are?
I believe so. Wasn't formally introduced to him, but the odds of another person in my position at that meeting are very good. Yeah,
yeah, okay. That makes sense.
I just wonder. Yeah.
So Abraham Lincoln was only 56 years old when he got killed.
Oh, wow.
And I read or heard a comedian talking about how great it was when he found $20 in his old coat. And he said Bill Gates would never do that because he doesn't have any old coats. The only old coat Bill Gates had is the coat that Abraham Lincoln was shot in. And Bill Gates uses it as a robe, fully naked, other than the coat. That was a joke. It was funnier. See, this
what?
Is why... Yeah, it's funnier. It's funnier when... You're Dave Chappelle. I'm telling you, it told exactly the same joke. It wasn't Dave Chappelle. It was a guy named Gary Goldman.
Gary Oldman, yeah.
No, not Gary Oldman. Gary Goldman. He's been around forever. He's really funny.
I didn't think Gary Oldman was a stand-up comedian, but
He's also been around forever. But that's what I'm saying. These jokes. Why is it to do with Abraham Lincoln? Oh, and then he said, if Bill Gates was going to pull out of his pocket the equivalent of a $20 bill for me and have that kind of joy, you know, because he was able to take his friend to Chipotle and they got guac. Anyway, Bill Gates would have to pull out a $12 million bill. $12 million.
That would be about right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think for like Bill Gates, you know, like I went to a wedding one time and I reached my suit pocket and I hadn't worn the suit since actually it was a funeral. I hadn't worn it since the last funeral I went to. I stuck my hand in the pocket and there was a $20 bill in the pocket. It had been there since the last funeral. And again, I think the Bill Gates equivalent would be like stick your hand in your pocket and pull out Kentucky.
Right.
Something like that.
Kentucky.
Fort Knox.
Well, oh, okay,
hey, did the Royksopp end without me realizing it?
Yeah, because I was babbling. Do you want to shout something? You want me to start it over? I start it over.
I want to thank you, Jason, and my wife and Shags for doing the show without me. And I listened to it and I thought it was really funny. I laughed 1,275.8 times.
That's a lot of laughings.
Yeah, it is.
If listener, you've somehow made it this far into this show, what the fuck's wrong with you? You've got to go get a life. To go listen to the last episode again, not this one. This one sucked. You know what? I should have gone with instinct. I was gonna have just Dad talk to Joe. That's what I should have done. It should have been just the Danger Lee and Bass with the Hands, but not as fast with his ass, Joe. That's your new nickname I just came up with. So that's what we'll do next time.
So we're going through the Royksopp again?
Yeah, fuck it. Why not? Yeah.
All right.
When something's shitty, make it go on as long as possible, right? Show's supposed to be an hour. Now it's going to be an hour and 15.
You're really convinced that this was a terrible episode.
It was terrible. I'm stone cold sober. I'm sober, but I wouldn't say it's a stone cold sobriety. You know that rock that floats? What is it? A volcanic rock? What is that stuff called? Pumice. I'm not stone cold sober. I'm like pumice lukewarm sober. And that's why the show sucked.
Well, I'm sorry that you were dissatisfied with this show. I had fun.
Well, I had fun
being
on
the show. I wasn't on the last one, so but I thought you guys did a great job. I just wanted to say that.
Yeah,
I thought it was great.
You guys were really awesome. Funny. They're really
good.
And,
you know, there's kind of a theme that I've noticed, but it didn't come up on the last show without me. But have you ever noticed that my wife seems a little bit, when she comes on the show, she seems a little bit too interested or too good at the topic of murder?
Yeah. There's two things that your wife does really well when on the podcast. Talk about murder. Both like at a distance and up close and personal, and also coming up with photographs of the most disgusting, sexually inappropriate. Like, she comes like pictures of gummy worms calling out of somebody's. You know what? Doesn't matter where it's coming out of your body. Pick a hole.
Yeah, she finds the most terrible, sexually vulgar stuff on the internet, and then presents it to us. But she also, when she speaks of murder, she seems almost skilled.
Yeah, no, I would agree with you.
When it comes to the details, and maybe before the Royksopp ends, I was talking with her. We were watching a murder show the other day. I wanted you guys to hear this because it's either brilliant or really scary or both. But this guy had rolled up someone in a carpet to get rid of the body.
Yeah.
Is the Royksopp over again?
No, it's got 2 minutes. You're fine. Keep going.
Okay. Well, look. And she does this a lot, and she's done this type of thing on our show. She was like, "Oh, it's the fucking carpet thing again. What an idiot." And I was like, "Oh, really?" And she's like, "Yeah, you roll it up on a carpet. If anybody's carrying a carpet out in the, you know, at night alone, dragging a carpet, like, clearly you've got a dead body in there." And I was like, I became intrigued, and I'm like, "What would you do?" And she's like, "Come on, I'd put the body in a hide a bed. And then I'd have one of my friends help me carry the couch out, put it in a U-Haul, and get rid of the body that way." I was like, "God damn, it's really good."
Yeah,
hide a bed. Yeah,
hide a bed.
I just wanted you guys to think about it. What do you think? Isn't that good? I feel like that was really creative. Like, how much does my wife think about getting rid of bodies? That's pretty good.
I'd go for a more ironic approach. I would get maybe 24 half-gallon milk cartons, and I would print the guy's picture on each milk carton, and then I would cut him up and put him in the milk carton.
That's have, pretty good.
Have you seen this guy? No? Want to see a part of him? All right, Joe, 30 seconds to scream.
All right.
Thanks, everyone. I love you. L'chaim.
We'll go back and watch Longmire.
Okay. Say hi to Mom for me.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Now let me check my to-do list. Item number one.
Fuck you!